Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Transmission. And what an important broadcast it is today as the world just gets crazier and crazier and the private corporate world government comes out in the open. Our job gets a little bit easier, waking people up out of their stupor. But in a way, it actually makes it harder because some people will wake up now, but others will actually dig into worshiping corruption and slovenly servitude that much more and will defend the status quo because they don't want to admit those of us that warned them are right. Now, we are going to have open phones today, obviously, but I'm specifically, because I don't screen your calls, I'm specifically wanting to hear from folks in Iowa, poll watchers, Ron Paul activists, or people that support the other rhinos, and of course, people that actually voted in the caucus, which is really just a glorified straw poll. The delegates are what matters, and basically Ron Paul ended up running away with it because he got as many delegates as the other two people. It was a statistical dead heat, but from all the polls I saw and the numbers and even CBS News admitting Ron Paul had, in many cases, 10 times the crowds of others, total rock star type atmosphere was the headline from CBS News yesterday. My gut is this was fraud. And LouRockwell.com has an article on it. Kurt Nemo has boiled it down in a big report at Infowars.com as well. Now, some will say, well, then why isn't Ron Paul saying that? He's saying, hey, third place is respectable. He's not even saying, hey, it's a statistical dead heat. We really got first place. I mean, the other guys won by a couple votes. There's a couple vote separation in all three of them, if you believe that. Why isn't Paul saying, hey, it's really a statistical dead heat? That's what Drudge called it last night. That's pretty much what it is. And you've got them just a few votes. I've got the actual numbers here we'll go over. Just a few votes apart, then it's a statistical dead heat. Why did Paul say, hey, third is respectable? He is the type of guy who's a good sportsman. And he's going to, I mean, that's what he always does. And he's kind of the old-timer type, you know, who's dying of cancer, and they don't tell you. I'm not saying Ron Paul's got cancer. I'm saying, you know, old-timers would have cancer and nobody knew till the day they died. Or old-timers would have a heart attack and just not even call an ambulance. They just sit there and have it. Not wanting to bother people, basically, was that old-timer type of view and perspective. And boy, I'll take an old-timer anytime over this modern eugenics New World Order that's really an old-time tyranny. But the point is, Paul knows, Paul will not engage in politics on issues. He will not mitigate what he's saying to have more of a pro-war stance, even though it would make him more popular with neocons. Rand will do it a little bit, but not much. But on the issue of election fraud, we saw this in New Hampshire 4 years ago. I mean, absolute bona fide, red-handed. Bev Harris was on the scene. Many other top experts that have exposed documented fraud in past elections. It was going on, and Ron Paul wouldn't touch it. And that did disillusion a lot of people. And I've been warning folks this is coming up. Because you see the bumper stickers, you see the polls, you see the numbers, you see how scared the system is of him, and you think, well, he can't be stopped. Well, we can't be stopped from having him run and injecting sanity and real issues into the debate. But you better believe they're going to engage in fraud to keep him from getting elected. I've been trying to explain this to people all along. And, you know, the campaign will say, oh, well, that's preposterous. You know, we're going to win. Because they know that if they do admit to the fraud, people just won't vote anyways, thinking it's a throwaway the vote. Because there is a way they could be right. If he gets a big enough landslide, which is starting to build, it'll be very hard for them to engage in fraud. Bev Harris is coming up in the second hour, but your call's first. I'll give the number out and come back.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. 8 minutes into this worldwide broadcast, simulcasting on XM channel 166, blasting out on more than 100 AM and FM stations, also simulcasting at WWCR, 100,000 watt world service shortwave, and it's retransmitted in the evening, 9 to midnight as well. And of course, number one on the audio streams at Infowars.com and the podcast, also in the Alex Jones radio show section of Infowars.com. We've also added a feature now where you can watch the show in a lower res window. You can't pay to have the really high res one out there for free at Infowars.com. Right there on the top right hand corner, it says watch now. And then there's also audio selections there for you. And the way this broadcast grows, the way the awakening to the tyranny grows, is by folks spreading the word about this radio show. And obviously, most of you know that. But you hear the police and military and school teachers and bureaucrats and lawyers and doctors and farmers and oil field workers calling into this broadcast, and they always say, somebody gave me one of your films, a copy of it. We want people to get my films and make copies of them and give them out to people. Like Obama Deception, Fall of the Republic, Endgame. Or somebody told me about you on XM. Or somebody told me about you in Infowars.com. That's how we're growing exponentially. And I wouldn't be fighting the globalist if I didn't know historically we can beat them. And the biggest thing in 2012 we're facing is that there is this self-fulfilling prophecy. There is this foregone conclusion fraud, this lie that is sold through the controlled Christian churches, but also through the New Agers and others, and through just popular culture, that the world is going to end because Nostradamus said so, or somebody twists the Bible, or the Mayans say that it's an end of the calendar in 2012. And the system is going to use that helplessness, that idea that people have of all things are bad, it's just going to get worse, you can't change it. I mean, I hear that so often from people that are awake. They say, you're absolutely right, but what are you going to do? You're absolutely right, but nobody can change it. Or you're absolutely right, but it's all in the Bible. And that's why the system funds all of this. And I get so many emails and comments and letters every day saying 2012, 2012, and Alex, we're mad at you. 2012 is going to be the end of the world. You know, look at the Iran situation. Look at all the earthquakes. Look at all the tsunamis. Look at all the turmoil. Look at the depression. The globalists have had it on a time frame to have their world government totally completed by 2015 since the 1960s. And we've read the documents on air, we've written articles, we've made films, we've read the quotes, we've pointed you at that. I mean, I played you clips yesterday of the head of the EU, Von Rumpy, and others saying, we're setting up global governance through the economic crisis, world government is here. And they openly, through the World Council of Churches and others, fund these clergy response teams and the rest of it. Most preachers in America, go ask them, and they'll tell you, I can't talk about that if they're on the payroll. Or the denomination bosses above them are on the payroll and tell them, this is what you will teach, this is what you will say. We told you about this 3 years before it was declassified and came out on the news. Back then, it was 50,000 preachers that had been recruited and paid to spy on their flocks and tell them to submit to government. That is off the charts creepyville. And that's the issue here. We're not dealing with just what I call a boss hog corruption. We're not dealing with some bid rigging and people hiring their families and, you know, stuff like that. That's bad enough because it always leads to new scams, new hustles, new frauds. Every cop I've ever talked to, whether they're a beat cop or a detective, and every fed I've ever talked to, goes, of course the government ships in the majority of the drugs. Of course, the mega banks launder the money. Yes, we know that. But there are criminals that then come into the vacuum and deal the drugs at the ground level who are involved in everything else. So would you rather us just let them run wild? See, the system creates the crisis and then offers the solution. If they fully implode us into total depression, which is the game plan, and bring in even more austerity, the public, most of them are going to not even really wake up. They're going to say, okay, you say you'll bring the good times back? We'll do whatever you say. Put troops on the streets. It's already happening in Illinois, already happening in Louisiana, already happening in other states. They're saying put troops on the streets as if that will fix everything. They know how to roll this stuff out. You're fighting very slick systems. But the moment you're not naive anymore, the moment you decide to start studying how they do this and how the social engineers work, you realize how ridiculous it is. And you also understand there's really no choice. People who think there's a choice or that you can go along with this corruption are living in a fantasy world. You can't make a deal with something like this. The globalists fundamentally seek to dumb down society, seek to create poverty, seek to create a post-industrial world in their own official UN documents, the State Department Memorandum 200 and Maurice Strong in 92 at the UN Climate Conference that is the model of the world today, and UNESCO through the UN that sets the policy for every industrialized nation and every third world nation they control's agenda. The globalists want bad things. It's one thing to have some big, fat, corrupt government pigs running things who just want to be rich and powerful. But throughout history, we've had some of those that still are arrogant and want to have a big, wealthy country because they see it as their cash cow, so they want it to be healthy. And there's still some problems associated with that. This is not a form of corruption like that. This is a ultra off the charts, wicked, creepy and disgusting and sneaky and highly intelligent and nasty. And it sells an idea to all these petty, dumbed down enforcers at every level of the bureaucracy that it puts in power to suppress the population. It puts all these people in place and they think they're on the winning team when you're being targeted as well. You're having your future taken as well. Your food, your water is being tainted. And the globalists are so arrogant. The White House science czar writes about it. I saw a report today on Drudge. In fact, guys, I didn't see it in my stack. You may have had, but reprint that. $500 million in tax money to Planned Parenthood that is the modern eugenics society. It's in U.S. News. Must have missed it. The point is that this is not something you can bargain with. This is not something you can join. You can join it in your mind and be delusional, but you still haven't joined it. You either decide to be devoured by the dark force of the New World Order, or you decide to gut up, face the facts, ask God into your life, and take action against evil. And heaven help those of you out there who don't realize this is a fight between good and evil. And I'm not saying you're going to find God in one of these churches. You're going to find the devil in most of them. You're going to find the spirit of the world, whatever you want to call it. The spirit of force, the spirit of oppression, the spirit of domination that wrecks civilizations and societies and is a nightmare. Everywhere there is goodness, there is prosperity. Everywhere there is evil, there is pain and humiliation and degradation, because that is what tyrants seek after. I get emails constantly and see comments and have talk show hosts say, okay, Alex, they are putting troops on the streets. They are saying they're going to start censoring people. But I have nothing to hide. They won't come after me. You are a fool. You are the very person it's coming after. All right, I'm going to stop preaching here because I have massive news, obviously. The toll-free number to join us, if you're from Iowa and you witnessed what happened there and you want to comment on what happened there with Ron Paul coming in a statistical dead heat photo finish. I mean, I've got the numbers here. There was just a few dozen votes between the three of them. I mean, this was photo finish where, but the instant replay is a hologram. because there's clear evidence of fraud. And then you ask the question, why isn't Ron Paul saying that? Because he can't even quote George Herbert Walker Bush calling for a new world order. The media says he's a liar. That doesn't exist. Just like CNN said 4 years ago, there is no Trans-Texas Corridor. Ron Paul is insane. You can find that clip. There are billboards everywhere all over Texas. Open announcements, Trans-Texas Corridor TV and radio ads. Part of the NAP, the Superhighway, Department of Transportation. And they went on CNN and said he is a liar. It does not exist. So obviously Ron Paul knows that if he comes out and admits fraud, that will A, run off people that are going to vote in New Hampshire. And B, the controlled corporate media that still has a lot of childlike people following it will laugh at him and say, see, he's crazy. He said the sun came up this morning. He said ducks quack. He said black is black and white is white. He said up is up and down is down. He said left is left and right is right. He said grass is green, sky is blue. He's insane. Because for those in the zombie trance, it is funny. Oh, look, Ron Paul says Israel created Hamas. It's only an absolute fact admitted by the Knesset and in every Israeli newspaper and the Wall Street Journal. Ha, it's so funny. So see, he knows. He's just trying to desperately get to the zombies and somehow wake them up. But you can't tell a two-year-old about calculus. Yeah, you're lucky if a two-year-old can recognize the letter A or B or C. And so he's dealing with brain-damaged children. That's what the average American is, literally a brain-damaged child in a childlike state. Their brainwaves are at trance level. We're here trying to help Matrix victims. Now, I'm going to come back, start taking your calls on Iowa, then I'll give you my take on what happened and go through the big stack. We're going to go right to your calls on the other side. Stay with us.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, after I take calls from Iowa and get folks' take out there, I will get into CNN had a member of the armed services, the Army, on from Afghanistan who'd been in for a decade. And he was talking about Ron Paul and how he supported him and how most of the troops did and how we don't need a war via Iran and Israel with the U.S. involved. And they cut the feed. It is so obvious. That is the message they're scared of getting out. In all the polls, you've seen them, in all the numbers, in the fact that Ron Paul gets the majority of donations more than all the other candidates combined, including Obama, not just Republican candidates, from the military. They still run that hoax of, well, you can't support Ron Paul because the troops don't like him. Again, this is known deceivers talking to you like you're an idiot. And I always mention this. One big evidence of fraud is the fact that every year, as long as I can remember, right before the school year, they go on every TV, every radio, every newspaper and say, it's the law, you've got to take all these shots to go to school. There is no law. They know there's no law. It is premeditated fraud. Here's the Buenos Aires Herald. GSK lab find over vaccine test that killed 14 babies. GlaxoSmithKline has basically admitted to it, and the government's fined them. But the point is, every few months I see an article out of Poland or Russia or Japan or an African country, Nigeria, where, well, yes, at the facility, 50 people were given it and 35 died within hours. And next door, they gave it to people and they died. And I just constantly see these articles where they're just killing people. And then it'll be, oh, actually, it was live polio and spread and then killed thousands. No big deal. CBS News. I mean, and then it's we're kooks because we don't want to take the vaccines. And we've got some shooting of a teenager by the cops. I've got that just happened. I've got to go over that. I've got Iran saying, don't bring your aircraft into the Gulf or else we only warn you once. And the Pentagon saying, we're going to come right back in with the carriers as we always do. Iran, we know that the current leadership was put in power in 79 and the CIA helped them get in there. This is on record. And a lot of scholars believe Iran at the leadership level still is involved with the globalists. They're not really on the same team, but they do little dirty deals like Iran-Contra. I mean, that's on record. Our government shipping them all the missiles and weapons. covertly so Jimmy Carter wouldn't get elected. And then as soon as Reagan got in, the CIA said, here's the weapons. I mean, it was all staged. And I'm not saying I like Jimmy Carter. I'm just, these are facts. Facts are stubborn things. And all of this is unfolding. And now Iran's head of intelligence comes out a month ago and says, if you attack us, we're going to attack New York and Tel Aviv with asymmetrical sleeper teams, and we're going to bring firefights to your towns. I mean, that is the worst thing Iran could say. Because now the globalists can stage terror attacks whenever they want and have Iran saying that. Or maybe Iran will really do it. Because Iran is on the verge of having their government overthrown. 70%+ of their population hates the mullahs. And every analyst out there says an attack on Iran will actually prop up the mullahs for decades more. Maybe that's what this is about. Benjamin Netanyahu gets to have a war and get reelected. Obama gets to have an October surprise and get elected. Coming up in the election. Think about this, how sick this is. And the mullahs get their infrastructure bombed, but so what? They get to stay in power because the foreign enemy attacked them. I mean, we know that went on. But I'm telling you more and more, that's got to be what's going on here. Or the mullahs are completely insane. And then that adds credence to what people in Israel are saying. I mean, if you've got Iran saying, if your aircraft carrier comes back through international waters again, look out. And you've got the head of their intelligence agency saying to the world in a press conference, we'll attack New York, we'll attack Tel Aviv, we'll attack. And I went and looked it up. It was on Press TV. They officially said it. I never even told people about this, but 2 years ago, the official letterhead came in here. You know, they always get Americans to go over there to Iran for these conferences. I got invited to go be over there. Like, are you kidding? Those guys probably work for the New World Order. I'd probably disappear if I went over there. I think people are crazy that go over there and be part of those things. Again, I'm against wars. I'm not for the leadership of Iran. All right. I'm coming back, going right to your calls from Iowa. I haven't even given you really my take yet on what's going on there because it's sophisticated. And Bev Harris, the top expert on election fraud, is going to be joining us coming up. You know, she made the documentary, Black Box Voting, was on HBO. And years later, it was confirmed that she was right with her analysis. Ohio was confirmed election fraud. I mean, this stuff goes on. Went on with Kennedy in Chicago. It goes on now. And it went on in Iowa. Bet your bottom dollar.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
All right, a lot of the experts are reporting that they've seen evidence of fraud. LouRockwell.com has reports out on that. USA Watchdog reporter was also on Coast to Coast AM last night saying that there's been some evidence of that. The biggest point here is that they did count it in secret, something that hasn't been done before. And whoever comes out of Iowa is the front runner. So if they're going to steal Iowa from Ron Paul, why not just crush him? Well, because then it's too obvious, as Bev Harris will break down next hour. When you have finagling going on, especially in a place like Iowa, where it's old-fashioned and hard to rig it, you've got to have cash change hands. You've got to get people to change their vote that way. You've got to just here and there change the numbers a little bit in key precincts that you've got your people in to be able to do that. And that's why the three-winner statistical dead heat with Romney on top, Santorum, and then Paul just a couple votes beneath him. And now going into New Hampshire, I've got three polls today showing Ron Paul in second place and growing as people learn about Romney being for abortion, open borders, carbon taxes, gun control, riding Obamacare. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, might as well just elect Obama. At least we know he's a bad guy. And so Ron Paul is saying, hey, nothing to shameful in being in third place. He's going to take the high road of a fair sport because he doesn't want to discredit upcoming primaries even though he knows that there's stuff going on. That's why they got poll watchers there. They're spending a massive amount of money with paid staff and volunteer coordination at all these precincts for a reason. Okay. But he understands that if they can get more momentum going and get a landslide, which he was building towards, growing several points a day until they came out with the racism stuff and the that he wants to barbecue gay people lies and, you know, that he, you know, all this other crazy stuff and doesn't want a space program and, you know, the rest of it. All of that came out and was only able to stop his rise. 10 years ago, the establishment would destroy somebody. They'd be down at one point with this type of attack. So they're losing their power to sway people. And with more and more Americans, a mainstream media endorsement is like the plague. It's like being endorsed by Jeffrey Dahmer or something. You don't want it. So here's a few of the headlines, and I'm going to your calls. Ron Paul may have secretly won the Iowa caucuses. Business Insider breaks down the fact that he got as many of the delegates as the others did, as Santorum and obviously Mittens Romney. Continuing, Ron Paul's Iowa finish, biggest fraud since Kennedy stole the West Virginia primary. Kurt Nemo has an article breaking down what's posted at LouRockwell.com. Following Ron Paul's suspicious third-place finish in Iowa, Lou Rockwell posted remarks by Brad Funkhauser, who we're going to try to get on the show. Quote, I've been following Iowa GOP vote counts for a long time. They are being slow-walked in 2012. Yeah, they did come in. I looked it up a lot later than they did the last few times. Always not a good sign. And counted in secret because Anonymous was threatening to shut it down, the same, quote, Anonymous group protesting Ron Paul. You know who that dog's trying to go after. Negotiations are on. Cash is changing hands. Remember that Republican insider that we played the clip from, that Fox pundit analyst, you know, where she's like, oh, the party elite isn't going to let it happen. It's going to be taken care of. You watch. Yeah, the polls don't matter now. Apparently, GOP chieftains are persuading by one means or another, Perry and Bachman people who hold considerable sway over large blocks of votes to switch to Romney and Santorum, leaving Ron in the dust. Also, abusing suddenly lax ID registration may have created many fake votes. I saw that on CNN yesterday for neocons. Santorum and Romney. Santorum has no organization, never drew over 100 people. I saw it was like five people, and they said, shut up, Santorum, we're watching the football game. Santorum has no organization, never drew over 100 people during his entire campaign. Of course, he did bribe and receive the benediction of what the family leader, who demands $1 million, where they are to distribute it in part to cronies. This is the biggest fraud since Kennedy stole West Virginia primary. Perry had built a pretty big organization and had around 13% of the vote. He drew far larger crowds than Santorum and ends up with just 10%. Did these votes go to Santorum? Santorum didn't earn the 24% of the vote. So yeah, it's the old-fashioned Chicago model is what they're bragging about what was done here. Here's another one that we're going to your Iowa calls for people to break down what they saw and what they think. Ron Paul comments on mysterious tweet sent from his campaign account. That's a diversion. Paul says on third-party finish, nothing to be ashamed of. Again, he's taking the high road. Continuing, Mittens Romney, meaningless Iowa caucuses now herald Romney's ascent to nomination. That's Aaron Dykes' view. Sarah Palin warns GOP, don't ignore Ron Paul after Iowa. That's a Aaron Dykes article breaking that down. Also, the big takeaway from Iowa, 75% of Republicans don't want Mitt Romney. Another report here, Al Gore encourages voters to dismiss Ron Paul as a silly candidate. You got Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Barack Obama, everybody attacking Ron Paul. What does that tell you? He's good, folks. They're scared. Continuing, Romney versus Paul. Experts agree, GOP contest now a two-horse race. New poll, Ron Paul retained strong second place in New Hampshire, and that's in Cook polls. It just goes on and on. I'll go to your calls from folks in Iowa in this first round of calls or so before Bev Harris joins us. After you hear a caller hang up, it's your chance, if you're in Iowa and witness something, to call in. 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231, and we'll get you up and on the air, of course. The websites are prisonplanet.tv, prisonplanet.com, and infowars.com. Let's go to Marcus in Iowa. Marcus, thanks for holding and calling in. What's your view on this?
In my district, I was in 16th. Everyone gave a 5-minute speech about why they should vote for so-and-so. Ron Paul's delegate was the last one. When she got done speaking, the crowd went insane. Right then, I was like, oh, we got this. Don't have to worry. So we voted, and he got 23%. The next person in line got 16%. There was another caucus across the hall. Ron Paul got 17%. Next one got 11%. Ron won both. Rick Perry had people from Texas trying to sway votes. And they were walking around in Rick Perry patches, stickers everywhere. So I called him out on Rick Perry doing TSA and about the forced inoculations. He said they were lies. So I pulled up on my phone, CNN, you know, dailypoll.com also. And I said, well, do these people lie? He's like, well, Paul does. I said, what about CNN? He smiled and left.
Yeah, no, these are delusionally mentally ill people who they invest themselves in the candidate and will buy any lie they're told. Like these Obama supporters, I saw on YouTube without even looking over 100 video responses to my Obama signs martial law bill that's got about 400,000 views right now, because you can actually type in the headline into YouTube and see the actual number. And then you go to our page, it only says like 230,000, but you can actually see it with that trick by just entering it in and seeing it in the search engine. But that's a side issue. The point is, because I mentioned it's got that many views, people say, no, it has 230,000 or whatever. No, you put its headline into the YouTube search engine, and then you'll see the actual number or one of the latest updates. Just a trick for people to learn how to do this. But there was over 100 video responses that I saw, and it was mainly black folks. And most of them were saying, well, we don't think Alex Jones is bad, but he needs to leave Obama alone. So what? He went back on his word and signed the NDAA, but he's not going to use it on citizens and secretly arrest us. And again, it's this identity thing of, you know what, I support him, and so my power is tied up in him. No, he's a teleprompter-reading devil that works for the New World Order, just like George W. Bush or Mittens Romney or Devil Gingrich or any of these people. These are puppets. And these people that, I mean, I've seen it. You can pull up the Perry press conference from 2007 where he said, my executive order says it's the law. All girls 12 years old or older report for your Gardasil shot. It's the law. And I had to go on air and say, it's a hoax, folks. There's no law. He just made it recommended to the health department. The schools are lying. And a year later, the legislature had to pass a law that just said there is no law. And you can find hundreds of articles. Just type in Rick Perry executive order, Gardasil. And I've been on radio shows, and they've called me a liar. And even when I say, okay, pull this up, they just laugh at me. You're right. Because when they run a hoax and get caught saying it's the law, you got to take it, then they don't want that brought up, that they're a bunch of liars. I mean, these are hardcore scum. I mean, they tell people on radio and TV and print it's the law, when they know it's not. That's a criminal. That's a con artist. So you're saying, and that's what a lot of reports are saying and people on the ground, that almost everybody they talk to, and that's what CBS said, rock star treatment, that it looked like he was going to landslide win. And Darren McBreen, one of our reporters here at InfoWars Nightly News, he said, I think he might win by maybe a half point or something last night. I said this on TV before the results had come out, because it's too obvious if they steal it big from him, because he's going to win with such a landslide. And I said off air to him, I said, no, I think he's going to come in third or fourth place. And I'm on record telling the crew that last night. I went on air and gave McBreen's prediction. I said, but they don't want to totally devastate him, because then that's too obvious they stole it. Now, see, if it was a mega landslide, they would have had to let him win. But what's your gut, Marcus?
As far as if there was a fraud?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I guarantee it. Everyone I talk to, and I know quite a few people, are constant. You know, Ron Paul's away. Last night, I went with two of my family members and two of my friends, and then to the left of me, a couple came in. The guy's wearing a Ron Paul shirt. He sits down, and we start talking. He said some key things. I said, "You're Alex Jones, listener, aren't you?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Every day." I said, "Same here." So then,
now that's the same deal as Ron Paul said 4 years ago. Half of his support then and now is this radio show. And that's why he still comes on here, even though some of his staffers, most of his staffers are listeners, but there's like a 30% contingent that are kind of rhino-ish, and they, you know, the little kids, literal kids, and they just sit around pontificating about how it needs to be more like Mitt Romney to win, and that's just not the case. Ron Paul knows where the audience is, and Ron Paul knows the government is criminal and the CIA deals drugs, and he says it. Ron Paul is just like me. He knows the truth. He's smart, period. I appreciate your call. Sad to hear that that's what you got there, Marcus. Let's hurry now through the other calls. Doug in Iowa, then Vincent, Alaric, and Jonathan and others. Go ahead, Doug. You're on the air.
Okay. I was the secretary in our precinct. One thing we had to do was have a lot more forms printed at the Radisson's desk for crossover voters. There were a lot of Democrats that came in and crossed over. We ran out of forms because you can register at the counter when you come in. Now, we were registering people for three different precincts there, so they didn't all come into the same precinct that I was going into at the next step. Now, our voting went Ron Paul 19, Romney 5, Santorum 5, Newt Gingrich 4, and one write-in. So he got about 60%. We photographed it to send it in.
My gut analysis from tracking it is that Ron Paul probably got 50%, and that's what the crowd show. It may even be above 50. So, of course, they had to then make a statistical dead heat. And, of course, what's the chances of that? This is pure baloney. Okay, I didn't fall off a turnip truck yesterday. So what are people in Iowa saying? Are they buying this then?
Well, the areas that seemed to come through the strongest for Santorum and Romney were the areas that Ron Paul did not have observers to photograph the vote.
Oh.
The smaller towns is where they did the best. And I my son works for a military contractor here in Iowa, and he was a Ron Paul supporter, but the day before the straw poll, doggone, he switched his vote to Michelle Bachmann.
Oh, I know. That was the diatribe on talk radio, that she's the real conservative. No, ladies and gentlemen, launching more wars while we're bankrupt is not conservative. Supporting the secret arrest of citizens disappearing into spider holes is not conservative. It's downright authoritarian, flaming tyranny.
Got him back to supporting Ron Paul all through Christmas. And doggone, day before the caucus, which is the Santorum. I think that they tell their people in these places to who they're going to vote for.
No, did you hear that Republican analyst, a Fox News analyst that we played yesterday saying, don't worry, the party officials are going to take care of it, he will not win?
Yeah, well, there's an interesting piece on Crash, Are You Ready? With Santorum's reverse speech, where he's talking about the Iowa caucus people kind of in their pocket in his reverse speech.
Well, who knows if there's anything to that. Thank you so much. Let's talk to Vincent in Iowa. You're on the air. Vincent, thanks for holding.
Well, I was a precinct captain in Precinct 4 in Council Bluffs, Pottawatomie County, Iowa. And Precincts 1 through 5 all took first place for Ron Paul. Many of the precincts in the more urban area of Council Bluffs in town was taken for Ron Paul. He got first. Something we noticed is at the after party when we met up with many of our other precinct captains in the county is that it was mostly the rural areas in the county that Ron Paul probably got third or fourth place.
And there's two ways to look at that. And I think it's both. That's where it's easier to engage in fraud, as the last caller said, because there's not people there to watch it. There's easier to have payoffs there. As we know, some evidence is starting to show what's going on. But more importantly, I've actually been in a hot tub in Hot Springs, Arkansas, with a bunch of old people and at the pool when I was up there a few months ago doing a story. And a bunch of them didn't know who Ron Paul was. So, yeah, people that only watch television, they wouldn't know who Ron Paul was.
Yes, I would agree with that. And the fact that we actually had boots on the ground here for the last year or 6 months here in Council Bluffs. And we've been able to hit all the churches. We've been able to talk to people one-on-one. We've canvassed all over Council Bluffs. We phone called people in Council Bluffs. We did mailings to people all over in Council Bluffs. And, you know, many of the precincts in Council Bluffs, you know, we won for Ron. But once you got in the rural areas where we don't have boots on the ground and we didn't have volunteers out there, going door-to-door, making phone calls, talking to their neighbors, talking to their, fellow churchgoers.
I want to hear more about this, and I want to have a call to action in New Hampshire. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Pienso que un sueño parecido no volverá más. Y me pintaba las manos y la cara de azul. Y de provisa el viento rápida me llevó. Y me hizo a volar en el cielo infinito.
Okay, we are back taking your phone calls. And we were talking to Vincent in Iowa. Look, we need to get even more people to New Hampshire to ensure that Ron Paul wins. And then people say, well, wait a minute, there's fraud. If there is enough of a landslide, they can't engage in that. And Ron Paul has been gaining momentum. And these attacks are going to wear off. They were able to stop his momentum and stop his growth at that point, from what I've basically seen. But now it's starting to wear off, and the momentum's kicking in again. And so much is going to happen financially in the next 6 months or so, validating everything Ron Paul has said. And we win by just having him in there. And we've got to reach out to people. They're calling mainly seniors and saying, you know, Ron Paul's going to get rid of your Social Security. And he said he wouldn't do that. He would try to create a new system for young people and then phase out the old, which is already bankrupted. They're already stealing your Social Security by devaluing the dollar. That's the thing about these banksters. Look at the austerity in Europe. It's already coming here. But they do have the dependent now. People whose money they took their whole lives, now the government keeps them dependent. And it's disgusting. Vincent, I've got a call to action. I mean, we need to get everybody to New Hampshire because, as you said, wherever you had boots on the ground, he won. But in the areas where folks are living in la-la land, you were unable to. But I think it's more than that. I think it's also fraud because there's a lot of old-timers and people that also support Ron Paul.
Well, I also want to mention that during the final vote count in my precinct, we had precinct captains that were there to specifically witness the vote count. So at least in my precinct, in the precincts that we had 1 through 5, which was at the junior high, the same location, we can say there was no voter fraud there. And the reason being because we were right there to witness it. And we was also there to witness the chairman call into the state GOP to announce the results of that those precincts. Now, in the rural areas where we don't have precinct captains to witness the votes, that's, you know, there's a big possibility that there could be election fraud there because there's none of our people there to witness the vote. So, you know, I can say it didn't happen in my precinct, but out in the rural areas, it is possible.
All right. Well, we've also had all these analysts and people bragging about it, so they're very arrogant. Thank you so much, Vincent. Jonathan in Iowa, you're on the air. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Good morning, brother. I'm calling from Johnson, Iowa.
Welcome.
I'm in Camp Dodge at the moment. My MOS is 11 Bravo Infantry National Guard. I smell vote fraud. Man, are they disgusting for cutting off that live feed off of my fellow military brother. The minute he mentioned Israel and the issues of the useless war, he mentioned, you know, something that kind of woke me up. And I realized, you know, the media is full of crap. And I smell vote fraud all over this. I think it's bullshit. Recently, Alex...
Sir, we got to let you go. I appreciate your call, but we can't sit there and just delay people out. We cannot use profanity here on the show, okay? And if you want to get cut off, that's the best way to do it. Let's go to another call in Iowa. I understand you're angry. But we're on FCC stations, FCC-controlled. Alaric in Iowa, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was actually... I think in the same junior high as caller before last, I was watching District 7 and 9. It seemed really fishy the way things were going on. The representatives only got 1 minute to vote. People who had caucused before said that they had seen in years past where there was actually a debate that went on. That was not allowed this time. Instead of having hands raised, there was a ballot process where you actually handed in your ballot.
Stay there. Exactly. They did everything different this year, and that's the big giant red flag. Stay there.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Yeah, we're going to be tracking this more coming up in the next segment with the premier election fraud expert, Bev Harris. And I know that she's hot on the trail of this Iowa situation with New Hampshire coming up as well. It's clearly there fraud 4 years ago with Ron Paul. He won New Hampshire. I was here in Travis County at the vote processing center where the votes came in. We put them in stacks with the Scantrons and put them in the computer. And I talked to everybody at the tables. Pat Buchanan was probably getting 50, 60% of the vote, maybe even more. It was incredible. And it was all over the city, and he got a couple percentage points. And so sometimes they do just completely engage in fraud. People say, oh, Austin's liberal. The people keep voting to hand all their property over and to let the city rob them. No, I've been to the state level. You can pull it up in the LexisNexis archives. What, the 1998 election? I challenged the Travis County election. And the state came out, did an investigation, and certified that there were serious problems and anomalies and that the votes weren't done properly, but that still they were going to certify the election. And that was in a separate election from the Buchanan one in 96. So I've seen it. People say, well, then why do you support elections? It's not total fraud everywhere. Austin, there's no voting. I can tell you, bottom line where I live, a dirty lion mafia runs things that act like limp-wristed liberals. They're not. They're hardcore savages. They know exactly what they're doing. They've dominated us. They've usurped us as a wealthy area. They're sucking us dry. Now, Iowa's old-fashioned hand-raising, and that's why they were so worried Paul could win. And in every ground level, he was probably going to get 50%. I mean, you've seen the numbers coming in. Where they couldn't cover it up, he was getting 50, 60%. But well, just what this caller said, and that's been confirmed, they didn't have the old hand-raising where people could have numbers. They said, write it down, give it to us, and do it quick, and we're going to call a secret location. Now, if that isn't fraud, I'll eat my hat. Let's go back to Alaric. Alaric, finish your point, sir.
Well, after they counted up the votes, I went up there and got pictures of both precincts, tried to upload it to transparentvote.net. The site was down.
Yeah, I was just getting too much traffic. Yeah, well, they tried. Next time it'll be bigger, I'm sure.
But I did notice while we were out there, because even though I'm not an Iowa voter, I brought somebody from Iowa to come in and vote. I had been involved with the training. That really wasn't enough from Ron Paul. As Ron Paul supporters, we needed to do more. We really did where we were. Ron Paul only got a total of 16 votes between the two precincts that I watched, and Romney came in with 30, of all things.
All right. But you're saying different procedure this year, and that raises red flags. Thank you, Alaric. Let's go to Tim in Iowa. Tim, give us your view.
Hello, Alex?
Yes, sir.
This is Jim, but hey, thanks for taking my call, sir. Thanks for waking me up and getting me turned on to Ron
Thank
Paul.
You. Did you say Jim? Because my screen says Tim.
Jim, actually. Jim, J-I-M.
Okay, go ahead, sir. We don't have much time.
Okay, sure. Paul came in 20 in my precinct. Gingrich had 19. Romney had 34, and then 31 for Santorum. I didn't see any fraud at all. We were allowed to watch them count, everything like that. They did the caucus the same way as always, as far as I know. The Republicans.
Yeah, that's what I've been seeing, is that it varied this time from place to place. Is that normal?
Well, Well, normally Republicans just have you fill out the ballot or do a show of hands, but they don't debate it like the Democrats do. But can I give you my take?
Yeah.
In Iowa, we had this gay marriage that was forced on us by the Supreme Court, and a lot of people are very angry about that. If you look at the map of counties that voted against the gay marriage judges, they pretty much fit right with the counties that Santorum won. So he brought this up as a hot button issue that didn't get any coverage by the media. He ran a self-campaign, and he brought out a lot of church-going folks to vote for him, but it was really a protest vote against the gay marriage.
Yeah, and it just becomes a political football. Interesting point. All right, so you don't think that was fraud. Interesting. I hope that's the case. We'll be right back.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Okay, we're going to continue with callers from Iowa, eyewitnesses, what you saw. Most of the callers are saying they believe that there was some type of fraud. They say that the majority of people that they witnessed were voting for Ron Paul in the caucuses. We're also have callers saying that normally they raise their hands and it's publicly tallied, but in some of the precincts they were writing it down and giving it to them as ballots. We know they moved it to a secret location. We're going to continue with your calls throughout this hour with Bev Harris. She's author of the book Black Box Voting, an expose on electronic voting. And she, of course, helped put together the hit film on HBO, the documentary about Black Box Voting. And we'll be talking about her website and more today. But she's the lady that exposed fraud in multiple states like Iowa. She's helped get people to testify before legislatures, whistleblowers from inside. She has proven election fraud. This is going on, and it's so cartoonish how bad it is. But Iowa has the good old-fashioned way of hands raised, and so it's harder to do. But we do have a caucus-by-caucus breakdown of what ended up happening with this. And with Romney and Santorum, there was only a difference of, eight votes, supposedly, if you believe that, and a few thousand with Ron Paul. Very, very interesting to see this happening. And so, the fact is we know this stuff exists. Now, Ron Paul is saying, hey, third place, almost, a dead heat with the others. That's not shabby. And it's not. But undoubtedly, Bev, let's go back in time, because you covered New Hampshire. You've gone all over the country. You've caught people, dumping stuff in the dumpsters, cover-ups, you name it. Going back 4 years ago, I remember clear evidence of fraud in New Hampshire with Ron Paul. But overall, looking at this out of the gates, I know it's just a few hours after the results came out, 12 hours or so. What do you see unfolding? What do you see happening?
We have to be clear what's at stake in Iowa and in New Hampshire. It's not about who wins. It's about expectations. If you do better than expectations, the story is that you're coming on strong as a candidate, the money flows in. If you do worse than the expectations, then the story becomes, well, you're not doing so well, and you're probably, gonna fade away. What I expect is going to be, what I'm worried about in New Hampshire is that it is New Hampshire, not Iowa, where they're going to really do the work on this thing. They're going to basically, and this is just my opinion, my constitutionally protected opinion, but what I think they're going to do is try to award Romney such a large, massive win that they can then make the story he's inevitable, why even bother to have more caucuses, they're expensive, or more elections, or more primaries, they're expensive, let's just get it over with, let's get the other candidates out of the race, it's going to be Romney, Romney, Romney. With Ron Paul in New Hampshire, what I expect to see is for them to hammer him down a good bit so that the story can then be, well, he didn't do as well as is expected. I guess, he's fading out.
And New Hampshire's easier. New Hampshire's easier because that's electronic machines in most of the districts. In Iowa, it's very, very hard. But there is a spot in Iowa where they could engage in manipulation, though. But let's continue with New Hampshire and then go back to what you see in Iowa.
Okay. Yeah. New Hampshire is really, really, really a concern for me right now. Even more so than in 2008 when we caught him in the act of tampering with the recount in 2008. New Hampshire is run on electronic counting machines. Now, it's interesting because there's about 330 jurisdictions, and about a third of those actually do publicly hand count their ballots, but the other two-thirds count on these electronic Diebold voting machines, which are programmed by a couple of guys, one of whom is a convicted narcotics trafficker. They're just a couple of private guys. You know, they're not even working for the government or anything. They're just a couple guys that work with an organization called LHS Associates, which is tiny, and it's out of Massachusetts. So they've got all the voting machines basically controlled by these two guys. They can have their way with those. What we saw in 2008 that was fairly interesting is there was a discrepancy between the hand count locations and the machine count locations. So that's one thing to watch for. But the other thing that I'm very concerned about New Hampshire right now is they have disabled the ballot stuffing safeguard. And let me explain that for a minute. The ballot stuffing safeguard is simply this. You count how many people showed up to vote, and you count how many votes there were. Now, in Swansea, New Hampshire, in 2008, we know from the reports that were submitted, 1,500 ballots were counted, 1,500 ballots, but only 1,000 people showed up to vote. That's vote stuffing. That's ballot stuffing.
And they can pull out other people's votes and add their own, or they can just add more on top.
Exactly.
And we know they've been caught over and over again doing this.
Well, in New Hampshire, this time, some of the town clerks are reporting that the Secretary of State has told them that it is optional to report how many people voted.
Oh.
The law is very clear. The law requires that every single town clerk submit immediately to the Secretary of State the number of people who counted along with their vote tally. The problem there is that this time they're just saying they're going to flaunt the law. So.
Wow. I mean, it is so in your face. So right there is where they can do this, because I remember 4 years ago there was incredible evidence fraud against Ron Paul in New Hampshire. So that's where they're planning to really give him a devastating whack so that they can create the perception that he's out of the race. They wouldn't do that in Iowa because it's a little bit harder, and it's harder for them to finagle things. Have you seen this video of this Fox News pundit on local Iowa radio a few nights ago saying, don't worry, I've talked to the party chiefs. They're not going to let Paul win. The fix is in. I mean, that's how arrogant they've gotten.
Well, and they may have tweaked it. I mean, you know, it was so darn close. He might have won, you know. But the thing is, in terms of the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary, they're not actually about winning. They're about managing expectations so that they can create a foregone conclusion. Okay, so what happened in Iowa, I think, is if expectations were managed, they might have tamped him down a tad so he didn't win. They may have tamped down Rick Santorum by the 8 votes that he lost by, because they need to have Romney the winner. You can tell from the CNN coverage and so forth that he's the anointed, that they want Romney to be foregone conclusion. And they're going to try to pull Romney out of New Hampshire with, say, like 50% of the votes, you know, or 55, a huge margin, and that will be the story. And then he'll be inevitable, you see. But Ron Paul, on the other hand, the danger there is that they'll tamp him down, exactly as you said, Alex. And they'll tamp him down, and then they'll use, over and over and over and over, you're going to hear this story. Well, he just didn't do as well as we expected. Well, you know, he's just really not a serious candidate.
And how does the Paul campaign, and how do Americans, period, that believe in real, you know, election systems, how do you respond to something like that? I mean, what do activists do to expose that? Because you are the person with others who have proven, it's come out in court, and you know, come out in the Associated Press years later, yes, Ohio was a fraud. Yes, this state was a fraud. Yes, this went on. I mean, this does go on. They've been caught doing it over and over again. How do you stop them? I mean, what would you do if you were the Ron Paul campaign? If you were Ron Paul, I mean, you were undisputedly the preeminent expert on election fraud. What would Bev Harris do?
Right now, talking about what's real and what's not. What's real is New Hampshire doesn't have very many delegates. They're the first primary, but they are not relevant because they don't have a process that has integrity, although, of course, you know, the candidates can't go there. But at least, you know, forget even about whether it's tampered with or not. New Hampshire is not relevant. This huge focus on whatever happened in New Hampshire is going to tell the story for the future has got to be really debunked, because if that's done, then it really won't matter so much what happens in New Hampshire. They can tamper to their heart's content. They've only got a few delegates. What the effort is, though, is to try to short-circuit the whole primary system so the other states never do really get to vote. So what I expect to see is they're going to annoy Romney, and then they're going to keep start talking about how expensive it is to have all these primaries. There's going to be huge pressure on the candidates to bow out, and it's going to become more and more inevitable. And then the whole circus, the whole thing just circus. The whole thing is short-circuited, or it's a circus, both.
Well, it's just frustrating to watch this fraud go on. I mean, you talk about election fraud 15 years ago. I would. We get laughed at. The Collier brothers would do it and get laughed at, and they caught people red-handed all over the country. Now, most people I've seen in national polls know that there's fraud going on, manipulation, bamboozling, you know, dirty tricks, whatever you want to call it, but there's this sense of helplessness.
Right, and let me address that. You know, what I've done over the last few years is I've really boiled it down to just four things that we need to demand to be able to see and authenticate. Just four things, and we can get control of this process again. And we don't have to do them all in one fell swoop with a magic wand. We can do them piecemeal, but we need to start, you know, start getting one thing after the next. The four things we need to be able to see and authenticate. Now, this differs from state to state, what you can see and authenticate.
I'll tell you what, stay there, Bev. We got to go to break. Sure. Short segment coming up. We'll do that segment on the four things we need to really certify the vote, you know, that key to our republic, our representative democracy. And then we'll go to callers in Iowa to tell you their stories. And Bev can break it down, and other callers. The phones are wide open. They're full, but they're wide open. 800-259-9231. I'm Alex Jones, GCNlive.com's The Network Web. Okay, we're going back to Bev Harris here in just a moment, and then we're going to take your calls in the next segment with her. I'm going to get Charlotte Iserby on next week, former head of policy, Department of Education under Ronald Reagan. Her father and grandfather were Skull and Bones. She's the lady that leaked all that to Anthony Sutton. She's now done interviews with us, revealing a lot of stuff never before seen or known. Skull and Bones documents, you name it. Part two of that interview is going to be released to PrisonPlanet.tv viewers very, very soon. I'm doing a plug right now because Bev's away from the phone. We're waiting for her to come back here in a moment. This book is out of print, the big phone book size one, and we had the last of them last year. I convinced her, but it took about a year to get it done, to do a updated and abridged. It's still super thick, 450-something pages long with all the documents of the design program to dumb down our population. It's the deliberate dumbing down of America, revised, abridged edition, Charlotte Thompson Iserby, available out of the gates. It just came out at Infowars.com. She's probably on Friday, if not next week. So that's available. Also, the new DVD film, the only modern, well-done, with incredible bombshell info proving Oklahoma City was an inside job. A noble lie, Oklahoma City, 1995. I'm in it, but that's the least of it. I'm kind of a narrator of sorts. It's got survivors, police officers, the cops that were killed, their mothers. I mean, it's the inventor of the neutron bomb saying bombs in the building. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Available at Infowars.com. Get that out to everybody. Okay, Bev, we're back here. Go over the four things that we can demand that's common sense, and it really takes the high ground away from the fraudsters. And in some places, we're actually getting this. So from your deep research, what can we do?
Right. We need to, the public, any person needs to be able to see and authenticate, number one, who can vote, which is just the voter list, who did vote, which is whoever showed up and cast their vote, the chain of custody, and the vote count. Now, you can verify those four things. They really, you're going to catch them most of the time if they try to steal an election. What they've done, though, is they've taken some of these things out of the public domain. It depends where you are. You know, some places you can see one but not another. If they can control any one of those four things, they can control the whole election. So if they can knock people off the list or add people to the voter list of who can vote, they can. Or if who did vote, if, for example, they stuff some more ballots in and say people voted when they never did vote, they can take the election. If they chain, if they alter the chain of custody, and which is the thing that we're going to get to in Iowa here, that's what I'm concerned about with some of the locations there where everything was out in the open at the caucus. But between the time it left the caucus and got to the Republican Party at the state level, that might have changed.
And so then if they just add a little bit here or subtract a little there, they can win, and that's why you've got a statistical dead heat between Romney, Santorum,
right,
and Paul.
Right, and it only needs to be done in a couple of places. So that's the chain of custody issue, with the last one being the count. Now, most of the places in Iowa, they did count in public last night, and so the count was actually pretty good. The problem was the chain of custody in Iowa.
Well, we've had a lot of callers, we're going to go to them in the next segment, get your take on it, Bev, who have said that normally at their caucus, everybody does raise the hand. It's tallied there. This time they said it. Some of them, they were handing them in into a ballot box.
Now, if they hand them into a ballot box, then there's just a couple quick other steps. And this is chain of custody again. We have to be able to see that the ballot box is empty when they start handing them in, and that they only put one ballot each in the box, and that you can stand there and watch as people are doing this. But if you do that and the ballot box never leaves public view, then at the end of the day they can pull them out, count them in public, and as long as you can see what they're counting, and from the, of course, it's different each place. Some of the caucus locations, you could see the Ron Paul guy was standing right there behind the counting table and could see what they were counting and authenticate that. Ideally, they should do what, this is one of the things they did right in New Hampshire in the recount in 2008. Any person should be able to see it. In New Hampshire, at the one side of this long table, you had the counters and the party observers, and standing on the other side, you had the public, and they could sit there and videotape the ballots with a close-up lens if they wanted.
What about good old-fashioned, because that's what Lou Rockwell and others are, have got some reports of, good old-fashioned political promises, cash, for people to vote for somebody else other than the candidate they were going to vote for?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, if that's, you know, buying votes, obviously. And then you're just, that's difficult to do on a wholesale scale, though. When you think about it, if it's only separated by 8 votes, or it's just a small number of votes, as Iowa is, that can become very, very relevant. But if you're talking in the scale of a statewide election in New Hampshire, which had 200,000 ballots cast last time, I would expect that was from both Democrats and Republicans, might be a little less this time. But still, you know, you'd have to buy an awful lot of people off, and nobody would have to talk. So the bigger problem is inside access.
All right, let's come back, take calls, and look forward into this election with Bev Harris of Black Box Voting. Stay with us.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Okay, Anita. Sean, Julio, Clay, Chris, most of you calling from Iowa and Illinois for some reason. We get so many calls from Illinois sometimes. Sometimes when we do it on our own phone system, which is computerized, we can take unlimited, there'll be like 20 calls from Illinois. A lot of great listeners up there. Of course, all over the United States, all over the world. Bev Harris of blackboxvoting.org is our guest. You can read her best-selling book for free there on the site. She's got a Black Box Voting Part 2 coming out. And, you know, the good news here is the naivete is over. I've seen national polls where upwards of 90% of citizens now believe there's problems with voting integrity and fraud. And Diebold, the kingpins of it, had to change their name for a while with their voting systems, or sell off their voting system or division because of it. Look, we have a government that's been caught shipping guns into Mexico, Honduras, but also into Illinois, Indiana, Florida, to drug gangs, to kill other drug gangs so the money could be laundered in major U.S. banks. And the ATF's been caught, along with the FBI. I mean, this is Chicago Tribune, El Paso Times, 6 months after we broke it. And then a few months after that, it's in the New York Times. 3 weeks ago, New York Times. But it's like, oh, well, they launder the money and run the drugs to keep tabs on it. Yeah, $500 billion. And they've got all these whitewash movies like American Gangster, where one guy from the street runs all the heroin in America, and he was the one that had the army shipping the drugs in the 60s and 70s. It was in congressional reports. It was the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It was banks. It wasn't Italian mafia or some black guy. Again, the fables are everywhere to sell us these lies. But the good news is people know about Fast and Furious. They know about Gulf of Tonkin to get us into Vietnam. They know about Northwoods. And they know about CIA aircraft crashing with drugs. And they know about election fraud in Florida. I don't like people like Al Gore, but facts are facts. The establishment said time for a change. The point is this stuff goes on. And now that people aren't so naive, we can have a debate about this and have a chance of turning it around. Do you agree with that statement, that analysis, that now people are more open to this so we can try to get some headway, Bev?
Oh, yes. There was a poll recently that said actually 70% of Americans just think elections are theater.
Yeah.
Which is about accurate. I don't know where the other 30% are that gullible, but yeah. That's about where it is at. It's theater, it's a pageant, but it's not particularly real.
Yeah, I saw one of 90 a few years ago, right before Obama got elected. People really thought it was a Republican-Democrat issue, so they were like, oh, you know, it 90% or so, you know, had questions about the integrity, but that kind of put people to sleep for a while, but they're waking back up.
Yeah, you know, there's no question, and that plays into the hands of the people who really do want to control things, is to be able to split people and get it was the Republicans who did it to one constituency, and another constituency, they say, oh, the Democrats are doing it. No, actually, you know, both of them do that, but this does go higher, and it doesn't actually matter who gets in and becomes president. They're out of luck. They're going to have to play the game.
Well, they're all financed by the same offshore interest. And again, it's that ending childlike gullibility and growing up. There is no Santa Claus, and we've got real criminals in charge.
Yeah. I mean, really, this started a long time ago. This started back in like 1950 when they started, you know, saying, how are we going to get the United States completely dominant in global business? And one of the things, and this is actually in Freedom of Information documents, they built this national security infrastructure, but one of the things they were doing was they said, okay, how do we do this? How do we get the global, you know, business community from the United States to be dominant worldwide? Well, one thing that's very handy for us, it's real, but it's just handy, is we can build a huge anti-communist thing, and we can, and the exact same arguments and tactics that we use to supposedly fight communism can be used to prop up the regimes that we want, to spread our global business anywhere we want. We can use exactly that. Well, then communism fell, and they had to start using some other rationales and also being more obvious. But basically, as I've been able to see from the documents, it goes to the national security infrastructure and to the Wall Street and the global elites, or the global financial elite.
Yeah, they've taken this country over, and then they say their world imperial agenda, which is enslaving us and we're paying for it, they dress it up with this rotunda of American flags, and then we're supposed to just fall down and worship it. And the new communist threat is Al-Qaeda. And just like we now learn, the communist threat was funded by the big mega banks. Al-Qaeda is funded. And they put Al-Qaeda in charge of Libya. And you bring this up to a good old boy, and they just say, I don't care. I'm scared of Al-Qaeda. I'll give my rights up.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I realized a while back, I mean, some years back, also when, you know, I was having things happen to me that were pretty inappropriate in terms of investigations and so forth. I was like, wow, what have I really stepped in here? And it is true that we can deal with this to some extent at a local level and start grabbing things back and grabbing our rights back using, you know, home rule and some of these other things. But I realized, you know, we have an obligation to understand the bigger picture, because if we don't, we're never going to understand why they keep saying no to us.
No, that's right. We're run by a bunch of ruthless robber barons who think they control the entire universe. Before you leave us, I want to talk about what's coming up, you know, the breaking stuff you've got in your new book, and you know, hot spots we should watch around the country, some of these voting machine companies that are really out of control. But I want to go to some calls right now from mainly folks in Iowa and other areas. Anita in Iowa, thanks for holding. You're on the air with Beth Harris of blackboxvoting.org. What did you see in Iowa?
Hi, Alex. God bless you. My husband and I live in Tipton, in Iowa, Cedar County. We went to the caucus last night for our Ward 1. There was 28 people present. We had to write our vote on a piece of paper, but we got to see the tally sheet, and we took pictures of it. And Obama had 50, or Obama, Ron Paul had 50% of the vote in our ward. The 28 people, there was 14 for Obama, I think 2 for Bachman, and 3 for Gingrich. And
you keep saying Obama. You mean Mitt Romney?
No. Same thing. Same thing. But overall, in our ward, everything was handled, other than we had to write it on a piece of paper. I also got up and made a speech about Ron Paul before the voting took place. I've been very involved. My husband and I both have been very involved in supporting Ron Paul. We also got elected as delegates to the county convention, and we're very excited about that. That's going to take place March 10th.
Well, good job. Good job, Anita. Sounds like your area did it the right way. Sean in Iowa, you're on the air with Bev Harris. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good.
I'm a police officer out here, actually, also.
Oh, great.
And I had left work to go caucus for the first time ever. When I got there, I was a little surprised that I didn't need to have any identification of any kind.
Right.
They just asked me my name, and they actually got my name wrong on the sheet, and I had to argue with the guy, telling him, no, that's not me, you filled in the wrong box.
Yeah, that's the intel we're getting and trying to track back, that in many areas, they were just letting anybody vote and weren't, and that normally that's not the case. But you're saying, as a witness, you saw this.
Yes, they actually did it to me. He filled in the wrong bubble, and I told him, I'm sorry, you have that wrong, that's not me. And he said, no, that's correct, see? And I had to actually physically count down the list to show him that it was wrong. Had he just asked for an identification of some kind, you know, that could have been alleviated. They allow people from out of state to be there. So who's to say that they don't go in the phone book and find someone in that district and just walk in?
My goodness.
Well, what does your gut tell you about them running off this year and saying we're going to count it in secret because Anonymous is going to hack it? And then the very individual that uploaded the original Anonymous video runs out to protest Ron Paul. I mean, boy, we can tell why Anonymous was there, can't we?
Yeah. Like, in my job, anything that's done in secret, you know, you're probably not supposed to be doing it. So
right.
There's probably something that's not on the up and up. So
right.
You know, and as a person who really, honestly, I'm going to be stuck in the middle if it all goes down. So I went out and I had my voice known. And when I saw that Rick Santorum was taking the lead, I was kind of shocked by it. But
did you talk to anybody at your district? I mean, who were they going for?
There were a lot of Ron Paul people there. You know, they had their stickers on and everything. I personally voted for Ron Paul. But, you know, let's see, the turnout turned out to be about in the 20s for Santorum and Romney, and Ron Paul got about 16 votes, so he was number three in my.
That was in your. And again, what district were you in?
I'm in Scott County.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
You know, I would just say that. Well, actually, I was watching Fox News, and they had something about the tally was at about 98%, and they were going on about a slow truck from Iowa State, from Ames, that hadn't been counted yet, and they no one knew where it was, and this has taken so long. Yeah. If you go through Fox News last night, they were kind of joking about, hey, where's this truck at? Why are they taking
No, we actually have Karl Rove. In fact, one of our reporters was trying to show it to me during the break, but I ran out of time two breaks ago, talking about missing trucks, missing precincts. I appreciate your call. I'm glad you raised that. Bev, A, what do you make of what he witnessed where they weren't getting any identification or even confirming the names right? And then B, yes, it is true. Fox News did report that some of the precincts never showed up.
Right. Well, you know, that's where we get back to the four things. Who can vote? Who did vote? Exactly. If you can control those two things, you can control it. So if you can bring some people in from somewhere else where they're not who they say they are.
Yeah, dead people voting in Chicago.
Exactly. These missing trucks, yeah, I'm looking right now at this report. Get this. Listen to this carefully. It said, in Clinton County, Rove said, a missing vote tally prompted observers from the Romney and Santorum camps to huddle together and agree on what the report totals should have been. And that's what they used. They didn't even use the real votes.
Oh, so now Santorum tells us. Wow. Yeah, I've got reporters trying to flag me all day about this. I'm going to have to obviously collate it for the next hour or tonight's nightly news. But, I mean, it's always like this. It takes time for the dust to settle.
Exactly. And this, that's where you get this chain of custody. So, you know, yeah, voting machines are crucial because they conceal the counting. But these other three areas, chain of custody, who can vote, who did vote, any one of the four can steal you an election, and that's why we have to be able to see what's going on every step of the way.
Wow. Yeah, so you're getting the reports in that they just agreed what it would be. I mean, I'm just telling you, my gut, unfortunately, is never really wrong. I can misinterpret what my gut's telling me, but it's always accurate. I mean, I just smell stinking rat under the floorboards. Something is rotten in the state of Denmark here on every level, and you've got, you know, these Republican operatives on TV and radio saying, don't worry, the party officials know how to fix it. They're so arrogant. You've got this long history of it going on. You have missing trucks and all of this. It does not sound, you've got them counting it in secret, Bev. I mean, you add all this together.
And here's my question. See, this is all a magic show. What does a truck have to do with it, actually? Because they're supposed to count at the caucus location and report it publicly at the caucus location and then call it in to the headquarters or fax it in. Why is there even a truck?
Yeah, that would mean they were taking them to the place to be counted. Oh, it doesn't sound good.
Oh, no. You don't want to be driving things around in the trucks with cars. Period, or trucks, because that's when.
And they're also saying some precincts just never reported anything. That's on Fox News.
Oh my goodness! You know, it's crazy. So that's where you get into chain of custody, and that's what I had written before we even started into this. I think this article's still up as the lead story. That in Iowa, the narrowing of the funnel, the wide end of the funnel being everyone can see it. The narrowing of the funnel happens with chain of custody in the Iowa caucus. And that's when.
Well, that's where you always get at Enron and everywhere. It's that executive controller fraud level. It's
exactly.
The top person.
Right. It's where only a few people can see it. When everyone can see it, they're you know, and what people are fooled time and time again, they'll go, I was there and it was really open and it looked pretty good. And what they don't, it's like the Amazing Randy, don't look there, look here, you know, yes. And they want you to feel really good because it's all out in the open. But if at any point in the election process that narrows and all of a sudden you can't see what they're doing, just exactly as your caller said, when something is done in secret, it's not going to be good.
Wow. Let's talk to Clay in Iowa, and then we'll go to Julio and Chris, both in Illinois. Clay, you're on the air with Bev Harris. So what'd you see?
Hi, Bev. Hi, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, in my precinct, not only did Ron Paul get the most votes, Ward 2, precinct EM27 in Des Moines, Iowa, but actually Romney had gotten the least amount of votes. And what I thought was funny is then the school that we took these caucuses at, there was multiple precincts in the school in different places. Like one would be in the gym, library. And the other precincts had come over to talk like chair to chair on these precincts and compare notes. And Ron Paul had won in the other ones too. And Romney was down right there at the bottom. I mean, he wasn't even second or third.
Yeah, well, who believes that Republicans are want somebody who wrote Obamacare, is for abortion, carbon taxes, and open borders and gun control? I mean, does anyone believe this? The system is cramming him down the throat because he's a big banker, raider, hedge fund globalist, Bev.
Right, and they call him a businessman? He was a hedge fund runner. I mean, who in this world? You know, American business is... it's supposed to be, you know, entrepreneurs and the small mom and pops, and that's what really drives most of the employment in America still, even with the big...
yeah, not a bunch of hedge fund speculators who get banker bailouts. Bev, do five more minutes on the other side. I know you've got to go, but I want to finish with a caller, too.
Sure.
Caller, anything else you witnessed then? Did they properly report your precincts as all for being for Ron Paul?
I did not see it once it left. They counted it in front of everybody. They let everybody take pictures, see. It was very transparent up until the time I left the caucuses. And what happened to the vote from there to wherever it goes, I can't say.
Yeah, well, it went to a special place where Easter bunnies count them. Bev Harris is our guest. We'll be right back with her comments on all of this, then open phones and a bunch of other news. In the third hour, Iran threatening to attack U.S. aircraft carriers. We've only got a few minutes left with Bev Harris. Clay, listening in Iowa on channel 166 on XM. Anything else you wanted to add? So you saw multiple precincts there all reporting Ron Paul, but after that happened, you don't know what went on.
No, I don't.
Anything else you'd like to add?
We have our fluoride heads here, okay? But I think for the most part, people here are grounded enough to see through the slick car salesman speak and the fancy hairdo and the crisp white shirt with the sleeves rolled up. Give me a break. Dude's never worked a day in his life.
You're talking about mittens?
Yeah. I mean, I'm around people. I'm a diesel mechanic. I deal, you know, I bust ass. Excuse me. And it makes me sick for these people to come out and stand on a hay bale and act all folksy. It's kind of condescending.
No, you're right. I really appreciate your call. I remember Bush going out to Crawford, and they admitted it. They had old tractors they weren't using and hay bales, and he'd get out there with a chainsaw. I mean, it's Alice in Wonderland. But again, Bev, I go back to the other point. People aren't buying it anymore. The system's losing more and more credibility.
Right, right. So
where do you see this going?
Well, I have to tell you, I like the car salesman analogy. I'm probably going to steal that and use that. But, well, I think that we are waking up. I mean, I do see, you know, on the populist movement waking up on both the right and the left, which is good. And now you start seeing real attempts at panicky, trying to, you know, wedge them apart so that they never talk to each other and find the common denominators. But we have to continue to build that. And I don't think it needs to be 100% organized by any one person. We just need to keep, you know, waking up our friends and helping people see that this is for real. This is important. And we don't have a democratic system, haven't had for several decades, but the magic show is becoming, we're starting to see, you know, it is. It's a bunch of used car salesmen up there with a prepared story that they tell everyone, and then everybody is getting better about not just believing whatever it is they see.
Bev, though, when do we pass the Rubicon, though? Because even if people don't agree with some of Ron Paul's policies or ideas, the whole system's attacking him. Al Gore's come out against him. He clearly is not under their control. And when do you cross that point where the system's so discredited that when they demonize you, that's actually an endorsement?
Right, that's a good thing. I mean, I think we're starting to get there, and that needs to continue. One of the things that's been so helpful for me is to look back in history and see when there have been situations where there has been somebody that needs to be dealt with like this, and there isn't, you know, the power has to shift. It can and does happen. I mean, if you look at the movement in the world to ban slavery, not here, but in England, which was 100 years beforehand, they were completely dominated. Their economy was dependent on slaves. It was the sugar trade then was as powerful as the oil trade is now. It wasn't feasible for them to ban it, but they did. When you start looking at the fact that power shifts can happen, and they do happen, but they're not necessarily going to happen in 5 minutes. But the thing is, you know, once people see the truth, they don't not see the truth.
Well, that's
so
right. I mean,
building that.
In 1800, maybe 1% of the population was abolitionist. By 1867, 68, it was banned. And then it still took time to, you know, change, you know, from that point and get real freedom.
Right,
but it's a process. Nothing can stop people when they're in the right and don't back off and don't stop.
That's right.
And you're a visionary, a trailblazer. You've been proven right. Ron Paul, myself, it's happening. Listeners out there, we're not going to win this war overnight. It takes dedication. It takes the truth. Bev Harris, blackboxvoting.org. Look forward to talking to you more later in the week as things unfold and we get more info on Iowa. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll be back with more calls, tons of news. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, we got Planned Parenthood with an annual report of $500 million in tax money. That's eugenics. We're going to be covering that more coming up after some calls. Birthers hail judge's decision that could depose Obama. That's an Infowars.com article by Paul Joseph Watson. It's linked on the right-hand side of DrudgeReport.com. We'll be breaking that down coming up. We've also got Palin coming out saying GOP better not marginalize his supporters. Look, I know Rand has come out and said that he doesn't think that it'd be a good idea for Paul to run as a third party. And I could see that hurting the legacy of Campaign for Liberty being seen as people that helped Obama get back in. But everything's coming to a head right now. I mean, if Mittens Romney is a carbon copy of Barack Obama, he just has lighter skin, only difference, then, I mean, what's the difference? If Ron Paul runs third party, if he doesn't, you know, win in these upcoming primaries, he's in the race. Then he will be injecting real issues, and he's got the base to do it. We need to attack the New World Order now. We need to belly up to the bar and force our way into these discussions now. So people, as everything unfolds and unravels and goes into free fall, people need to understand who's behind all this. I mean, look, it's time to be all in. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, all in. Let's go to some of your phone calls right now. I'll get more into this news coming up. But Julio in Illinois, you're on the air. Welcome.
Alex, Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to all the freedom lovers out there. I was in Acme, Iowa last night at the Paul campaign party, and I actually interviewed Corporal Jesse Thorson before CIA operative Dana Bash interviewed him. And I was trying to get him on my friend's radio show, Liberty Talk Radio, and he said, you know, he just got into the party, wanted to calm down a bit, and he said, come back in a few minutes. I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And, I mean, his response, Alex, and I hope maybe I can send you the MP3 of this. I mean, when CNN cuts his interview off or cuts him off last night, he was going to talk about Israel. He was mentioning that Israel can defend themselves. He mentioned that the Israeli military is capable to defend.
Yeah, no, Ron Paul's speech back in the 80s when they attacked the reactor, he said, well, that's their sovereign right to do that. I mean, Israel's got 400 to 800 nukes, conservatively. I mean, it's just ridiculous to say Ron Paul wants us to be nuked, so we've got to have more wars. Again, this is all part of bankrupting this country and our military being used to be the empire's enforcers. You're welcome to send us your MP3 interview with him. You want me to put you on hold, and once we get it, come back to you. You can introduce it to us, because I haven't gotten to it yet. We've got it up at Infowars.com. CNN pulls the plug on Live Feed of Soldier, talking about voting for Ron Paul. But if you've got the interview with what he actually said, I'd like him to not be censored. That's pretty exciting. Is it already on the web somewhere, or have you not?
I have an MP3 on my digital recorder. I can email it to you within, you know, the next 30 seconds. But here's the thing.
Alex, let me just stop you. I'm gonna put you on hold. Jaron, you do need to give him your email, because I actually know Julio sent us a lot of great stuff. Julio, in fact, you're part of the We Are Change folks, aren't you, that actually confronted Al Gore, aren't you?
I didn't confront Al Gore. I'm friends with the We Are Change crew.
No, but you've been involved in some of those actions, right?
Yeah, I confronted Herman Cain a couple months ago.
I just know over the last 4 or 5 years I've seen a lot of your great work. So, I'm going to have Jaron talk to you right now, I want you to send us that MP3 right now, and then we'll come back to you as soon as we get it. It may be 10 minutes or whatever, because emailing us is like an act of Congress. We have special systems. We have mice on wheels that get the emails out. You may have to send it to Jaron's private email for all I know, but we'll talk to you right now, Julio, and come back. Here we go.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, one of our correspondents, he sent us a lot of good stuff over the years. Julio's on hold. He's been on there for like an hour to get on air and tell us that he interviewed the military specialist, Army veteran, who was on CNN and got the feed cut when he tried to talk about how the military doesn't want to attack Iran. CNN pulls the plug on Live Feed of Soldier, talking about voting for Ron Paul. The soldier starts explaining how preemptive war is the greatest danger, and the feed is cut, and you can clearly see it cut. And they do this stuff all the time. And so as soon as he's able to MP3 us that to our email system, we'll go back to him and play the clip and then play with the guy the rest of the story, what he said, breaking that here. If it doesn't come through in the next 10 minutes, we'll just give him my private email. We'll try to get through that way. Sometimes our spam systems block basically everything but the spam. example is Wayne Paul couldn't get our email yesterday, so Jaron just sent it from his private one. I'm not complaining here. I'm just explaining why it's frustrating. I want to go back to some of your phone calls right now, but first I want to hit some more news. Here's some of it right now. Birthers hail judge's decision that could depose Obama. Ruling denies Obama's attempt to have complaint that seeks to strike president from Georgia ballot dismissed. Birthers are hailing a decision by a judge in Georgia that could see Barack Obama struck from the presidential state ballot if Obama fails to prove that he fulfills the natural-born citizen constitutional requirement to be president. Deputy Chief Judge Michael Mulhaly in the Office of State Administrative Hearings denied a motion by Obama asking to dismiss the complaint. What about his fake Social Security number that wasn't his out of Connecticut? I mean, there's something going on here that seeks to keep his name off the state ballot during the March presidential primary. The judge's decision now sets the stage for a January 26 hearing on the issue of Fulton County. And it just goes on from there. You can find that article at Infowars.com. It's also linked on the right-hand side of DrudgeReport.com. With some other interesting news, Obama in unprecedented power grab, breaking a rule and law set by Congress by Democrats to recess appoint a whole bunch of federal judges. Lock up your daughters, your sons, your guns, your gold, because these people are criminals. They'll ship guns into Mexico, drugs back into the U.S., blame the Second Amendment, even when they're caught. and they'll let MF Global take money and have the guy that did it in the White House, and nobody gets in trouble. I mean, these are gangsters running the country. Very, very creepy. In fact, creepy doesn't even hold a candle to how crazy this has gotten. And here's the headline, another headline. America, a Mormon from Massachusetts wins Iowa. What do you think is going to happen with evangelicals who've said they won't vote for a Mormon for whatever reason once he gets in there? Romney's a ringer for Obama. I mean, only somebody like Bob Dole could lose. Mitt Romney, Mittens Romney, just like Bob Dole against Bill Clinton. I mean, that was a ringer. And they're going to do it again. This is how the corrupt ruling class do this. Everybody else up there is a stuffed suit, a teleprompter reader. I know you know that. We got to get this message out to people. They're starting to get it, but not fully. The only person who's real is Ron Paul, and that's why the entire system, including Al Gore, came out last night and said, don't vote for Ron Paul. He's a kook. He's a nut. This is a confirmed con artist scammer who says he invented the internet and wants you to pay him money to breathe. I mean, it's too rich. Here's some of the other news. This is out of CNS News. Planned Parenthood's annual report, they got $487.4 million in tax money. Well, that's just federal. Here in Travis County, where I sit doing this radio show, Austin, Texas, they take money from every business in the city and they pay it for Planned Parenthood to open up more offices than Starbucks. Basically, on every corner, they're in the schools counseling the kids. They've got it where they can get 13-year-olds to have abortions without parental consent. So why not in California have the governor, and he did 3 months ago, sign a bill saying they'll give your kids shots without consent? They're not going to stop. Oh, your 13-year-old's pregnant? We're going to take them for a medical experiment. But we're taking them to the chop shop. But if your 13-year-old wants to go to the state fair with the school or go to the planetarium, you better get a letter signed. But hey, put them in the stirrups and get the knives going and the vacuum cleaner going. Knock yourself out. Mommy and daddy don't need to know. Hey, some experimental shots been killing people? You bet. Get ready. It's fun. It's great. It's not a human life, and parents shouldn't be involved. And then Planned Parenthood, here where I live, has like cover articles in the Statesman and the Chronicle and other birdcage liners. Who, thank God, especially the Statesman can barely stay afloat and the rest of them, I mean, because nobody's going to read your garbage soon. I mean, the trendy, windy Chronicle, because it acts trendy and, sniveling, has a few trendies reading it. But it's always about how Planned Parenthood's under attack and there's fundraisers and everyone scurrying around. I'm going to do some more reports on Planned Parenthood with the quotes, not from 50 years ago. We've got those, but the new ones where, yeah, we got to get more fundraising to get rid of these blacks. Hey, can I give money just to get rid of the blacks? Oh, you bet you can. All those audio recordings. Oh, yeah. What about Mexicans? Oh, yes. Oh, we'll get rid of those. And they've got them in all the minority neighborhoods. And then you've got all the paid off minority groups who'll never talk about it. Because they're there to give you racial consciousness to have race war in this country and racial division the government can control, not to actually stop your babies from getting chopped up. The La Reconquistas won't tell you about that because they're paid for by the Ford Foundation, who wants to make sure you're deader than a hammer. But here's the report. Right here, according to its latest annual report, the Planned Parenthood Federation of America received $487 million in tax dollars over a 12-month period and performed 329,455 abortions. In addition, the number of adoption referrals made by the organization continued to decline. Even though there's a huge premium on babies, including minority babies, I always hear the talking point by Planned Parenthood and others about who's going to adopt the brown and black babies. There are Christian groups lined up around the block that will adopt mentally retarded brown babies. But the issue here is that Planned Parenthood is a racist organization. They're dedicated to it. You know, real racists don't run up in some clown Nazi outfit that's usually, you know, some globalist, you know, group out there trying to get a hate law passed, and, you know, half of them are federal agents up there. I mean, this has happened over and over again. It's, you know, it's come out over and over again. Real racists come up and go, I'm liberal. I mean, and have the NPR lisping affected voice. That's like an army tank driving up to run over you and your family playing ice cream truck music. We're friendly. We're loving. Not threatening. Yeah, they're threatening. Again, it's camouflage. It's trendiness camouflage. Loving. Care so much about you. And it's just disgusting, absolutely disgusting what this organization does. I mean, the Margaret Sanger quotes about, we got to hire black leaders, the blacks don't trust us. And once we get enough black leaders posing as liberals, we can exterminate these weeds. And again, let's just be honest about it. Okay, and every liberal black group I've talked to or Hispanic group, they won't talk about it because they're funded by it. They just like going to the meetings and having the families come in there with their racial consciousness and bash Whitey all day and sit around and feel real good. Meanwhile, the leadership knows full well what they're doing. In fact, Jesse Jackson, you can go back to the records, would talk about this till they bought him off. I mean, how much money does it take to get you to sell your people on it being trendy and cool to get your kids killed? And then people say, oh, well, look how many criminals we've already got and problems, and who wants to pay for it? You get rid of the welfare, you encourage the family, and then these problems will disappear. The globalists want social rot. They don't want the problems to disappear. It's on record. Before welfare and breaking up of the family and saying you can have money, but you can't have a man in the house in the 1960s, black illegitimacy was only about 40%. Now it's 92% nationwide. And they come back with a politically correct statement of, oh, don't bash single families. I'm just saying you're four times more likely to end up in prison, three times more likely to be on drugs. I mean, it's hard to keep your children under control with two parents. The wages of the New World Order is death. And so next time you're hanging out at your public school or your college and some slack-jawed socialist, La Raza, Mecha, Reconquista, Black Power Group, whatever it is, comes in there. It's usually led by some white wannabe hippie who's actually Ford Foundation funded and actually wants to kill you deader than a hammer. A lot of them actually know it. Thing is, they're not just dumb hippies, even the low-level ones. They actually want to kill you. That's what's sick. But they're trendy and they got beads in their hair. I'm trendy. So you don't know where the real killers are. And they'll send in their guys. I've seen them. I've actually been at these events where they got a guy, you know, who's trying to dress up like Pancho Villa, have the big mustache and, ah, shut up, gringo. Alex Jones is scum. He's filth. He's your enemy. And I'm like, you're funded by the Ford Foundation to abort Hispanic babies. Shut up, Jones. We're going to get you. And then later walking out to your car. So what? We run things now. Hey. I mean, you're like, you actually know? That's right. And we're going to get you. It's like, oh, you're killing your people. Isn't that cute? See, they know how to package things. They know how to package things. They know how to do it. And you've got to understand it. Or I went off into a side rant. One time I had an anarchist come up to me and he goes, he admitted he worked for the feds. I mean, these are just scum. And they've got camouflage on. All right, we're going to come back, get to your calls, get into... Speaking of vaccines, again, every week or so I see articles like this. This is out of the Buenos Aires Herald. GSK lab fined over vaccine tests that killed 14 babies. And every week or so, it's like Poland or Argentina or Brazil or Nigeria or Pakistan. They're giving people experimental shots that... in some cases, kill the majority of the people. Like 50 homeless were given in the bird flu vaccine in the Polish town. 32 died. In fact, type in 32 homeless die after vaccine test. That's London Telegraph. Point is, Or you can type in, you know, children given polio by polio vaccine, CBS. I mean, it's just, it's, and then they're telling you, you're crazy if you don't just roll your sleeves up and take whatever shot we want to give you. And they always get a fine. They were fined 400,000 pesos. What is that, like $5,000? Argentine Laboratories Company was fined 400,000 pesos by Judge Oganinski following a report issued by the National Administration of Medicine, Food and Technology for the killing of 14 babies during illegal lab vaccine trials conducted between 07 and 08. Likewise, two doctors, Hector Abate and Miguel Trang, I can't pronounce it, have been fined with 300,000 pesos each for irregularities during the studies. And it just goes into all these kids dying. And that's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I just constantly see these reports. And then we're like, we don't trust that. Here's a report out of WLS. Brownsville, Texas, police have shot and killed an armed 15-year-old in a middle school in South Texas. Brownsville Detective J.J. Trevino says police received a call around 8 a.m. Wednesday that there was an individual with a weapon at Cummings Middle School. Police found a student with a handgun in a hallway and shot him. Cameron County Justice of Peace Kip V. Johnson Hodge told the Brownsville Herald the student died. Shooting remains under investigation by people that did the shooting. But the gunman was an 8th grade student at the school. They say the school was immediately placed on lockdown so he can shoot everybody if he was a shooter. And no one else was injured. Trevino said he had no information on why the student had the gun. Who even knows? You know, if it was a fake gun, you'd never know that because they'd cover their behinds. So there's some of those reports. And I see these kind of reports every day and never give them the attention they should. This is out of New York Daily News. And it says, teen mom shoots intruder on New Year's Eve to protect three-month-old son. And I see this all the time where, you know, the lady shoots the intruder, and then the media ask, was it right they did this? You know, they told a recently widowed teen mom shot and killed an intruder to protect a three-month-old son on New Year's Eve after asking a 911 operator for permission. You don't need permission. Local media reported. That was just like the woman in California asked permission while the guy's busting in, and she keeps shooting him, and he keeps coming. Sarah McKinley, 18, was alone with her son in Blanchard, Oklahoma, home at 2 p.m. December 31st when two men tried to break in. Her husband had just passed away from lung cancer on Christmas Day. Well, she grabbed a shotgun, called 911, and begged for the operator to send help. Well, you had help, lady. She stayed online, I bet it was your husband who bought you that gun, for a terrifying 21 minutes and asked the dispatcher if it was all right to shoot the men who forced their way in. I can't tell you that you can do that. What an idiot dispatcher, even in Oklahoma. You think they'd know better. But you do what you have to do to protect your baby, the dispatcher told her, according to ABC News. The young mom fired when Justin Martin, 24, who was wielding a 12-inch knife, kicked his way through the door. I guess he thought this was Chicago or New York where everybody's disarmed except the criminals. I mean, you start busting your way into my house, I'm not going to call, and I'm only going to make sure that you're not, you know, some family member in emergency. I'm going to say, who is that? And if you don't answer and you keep coming through, I'm opening up with a shotgun. I mean, you are deader than a hammer. I got a 7-round semi-auto, baby, and you are dead, dead, dead. I got one of the shotguns they board ships with. I think I'm going to buy the one with a big old ring on it. That's it. I'm buying the biggest riot shotgun there is. I haven't bought guns in a couple years. I think I'm going to go buy like 20 guns this week or something. Everybody else is doing it. I'm going to go buy massive loads of ammo, too. I'm going to go clean out a shop. The problem is I'm always so busy and leave here so late the gun shops are closed. I just need more guns because they hate it when I buy guns. Buy guns, buy guns. By the way, we're pretty much sold out on sponsorship on InfoWars and Prison Planet. We ought to, frankly, raise the rates because we need to fund some new operations. But when you're sold out, you're supposed to do that. But the guys like to have the lowest prices out there. The point is that the only thing we don't have is gun sponsors. I mean, if you are a gun seller, here we are. I want to check you out, make sure you're great. I want to get behind you. So contact us at advertising@infowars.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, Chris in Illinois, Dominique in Illinois, Donna in New Hampshire, Mark in Oregon, and others we're going to get to you. We're waiting for Julio to send us the audio of the soldier. He was there and interviewed him, who got cut off by CNN. We're going to play that clip when he gets us the MP3. It hasn't come through yet. And then play what the guy actually said versus what CNN put on air. That's coming up at the end of the show, if we end up getting it on time. If not, it'll be on the nightly news this evening. We're going to have a very special nightly news tonight. That's all I'm going to say. We've got some special guests and things, but we're going to have a lot of key news covered. Now, and some fun occasionally. Different characters pop up on the nightly news, kind of break in. So to the transmission, we're getting with the season of having Homeland Security, you know, pop in and take over the program. I mean, they're actually doing that now for real. So we've got a little bit of a joke this evening. InfoWars Nightly News. You can find out more at PrisonPlanet.tv. We have a 15-day free trial subscription right now to PrisonPlanet.tv. But for the next 4 or 5 minutes, I noticed that gold is up, I don't know, 70-something bucks since it hit bottom a few weeks ago. And I wanted to get Ted's take on why that's happening. Ted of Midas Resources, one of our longtime sponsors and also the owner of this network. Ted, what is going on right now with precious metals, and how does China and India moving towards new currencies tie into this?
Well, I mean, right now, China is one of the biggest buyers in the marketplace. I mean, they've really increased their commitment to what they want to buy. As a matter of fact, they're trying to make deals with one of the several of the major mines out there to try to buy all of their production, which is taking a lot of that away. But what's really going on, Alex, is this European crisis. I mean, the United States, the Federal Reserve has pumped so much money into our central banks that they're sitting on so much cash that that's helped keep the reserve the crises from completely falling apart in Europe. But right now, that's all printed money. It's starting to show up. We're starting to see the inflation come back again. We hit about 1550. Right now, we're sitting at 1613 gold. And we've seen a high today. Here, let me just take a quick peek here. I just want to refresh. We've seen a high, or I'm sorry, we're sitting at 1614, seen a high today of 1619.90. 1592.50 on the low, but that's starting to come back up again, and it's reflecting the fact that there's so much problem going on over in Europe, and the very fact that we've solved our problems from printing money and creating these big deposits in the central banks, basically to bail out the buddies and the friends of the central banking system here.
Ted, let me ask you this question. You and others predicted that they could raise margin calls in the speculative gold market, the paper market, to lower prices and kill speculation. They've done that to an extreme degree. They also created uncertainty with the MF Global heist in commodities across the board, but we see oil and other commodities ticking back up. When you have central banks worldwide making the announcement that they're going to have concerted, accelerated devaluation, not just gold and silver, but every other commodity, you know, it stands to reckon, are going to go up. But what other tricks does the establishment have to drive down gold and silver, which they know when it's valuable and has high prices, discredits and competes with their fiat Ponzi scheme money?
Well, that's the thing. Since they've taken a lot of leverage away from the futures market, which usually drives the price of gold. I mean, when people look at spot gold, when I'm quoting 614.50, that's the settling price of contracts that are expiring right now at this moment, and that's what the delivery would be at this very second. It used to be 10% down to leverage, you know, 100% of the goods. Well, now it's 20% down to leverage 100%. So, you know, they can raise that reserve requirement even higher, but they've already knocked a lot of the speculators away. You know, they're just doing their best. I mean, the central banks of the world also hold some of the largest reserves that there is in physical gold. They have it mostly stored in New York City, and they have these lease deals that they have with the futures market, and they can raise and lower their lease rate for which they charge in order to sell their gold into the futures market. But that's really about what they have left. It's all smoke and mirrors. Right now, they're heavily relying on the printing press to keep the economy pulled together. You know, it would be better if it blew apart, especially for Ron Paul, because he would be just, you know, proven right again. And, you know, the people in Iowa obviously would have pay more attention to Ron Paul. But anyways, that setting that aside, there's just so much chicanery that's going on. I mean, you just simply cannot print money without having a devaluation of the currency itself. Like you said, they're trying to manipulate the prices of gold down by raising the reserve requirements, making it more difficult to trade in the futures market, but the physical market is picking up right where it lets off, and that's where you're seeing places like China getting involved. I mean, literally many, many times, it's like 22 times as much gold purchased in 2011 than there was in 2010. So, I mean, the market is definitely European, and also in the Far East is growing for gold and silver. Yet here you see the dollar strong today, sitting at roughly around $80 in the and the foreign currencies are falling. But the only reason why that's happening is because the crisis that's happening in Europe is more scary than the crisis that's happening in the United States.
Yeah, but basically the United States, most analysts say, is sitting on an even bigger unsustainable derivative debt, and we've been tricked to think that it's our own personal or even government debt, even though the 15-plus trillion that is owed is now 100.3% of yearly GDP. So debt has now yearly outstripped the GDP of the entire country, exactly where the bankers wanted to get us. So now it's time to start our implosion, and the very criminals that did it will now dance around and say that they're our saviors. I see this as a gold and silver buying opportunity. As you know, I've got a little bit of silver and a little bit of gold, you know, over the years, get a little bit here, a little bit there. This is an emergency backup, but I think now is the time to get involved. In the minute or two we've got left, Ted, tell the radio listeners about some of the specials you're offering. And we're almost out of the book, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True. You get that free and the film exposing the banking cartel that's excellent, American Dream. You get both those free when you get three silver dollars at cost, ladies and gentlemen. That banner's at Infowars.com at the right-hand top corner. You can also go to MidasResources.com and find it, or you can call and get it, 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. You're not going to find a better price on the silver anywhere. And then you get free shipping and two free gifts on top of it, because Ted wants to have this as a loss leader to introduce you to gold and silver. But if you're really serious about it and want to protect yourself, I think the best move for myself personally is gold and silver. And I think right now is a buying opportunity. Ted's got quite a bit of gold and silver he's amassed. I know he buys when it goes down. Now, even though it's gone up some, he can still give you the older price. Ted, what are some of the best deals you've got? Tell folks about it.
Well, I mean, the Walking Liberty half right now is at $14.37. That's a wonderful buy. I mean, they were close to $20 when silver was back up at $50. I also have the Lakota Nation round at $37.01. Franks right now are at $3.52. We buy a full year subscription to the International Forecaster. If you only buy one, I don't think you'll find that deal out there. That's like less than $1,000 an ounce when you factor in the price of the subscription. I've got a few of those Campaign for Liberty proofs. It's not going to be much. If somebody wants volume there, forget it. But I would suggest that you get involved with that. It's one more way to spread the word about Ron Paul. That deal with the video and the silver dollars, Alex, you know, that's what people really need to be getting involved with, because that video explains the banking system. It really goes in, it dives into how money came into existence in the first place. And until you understand that concept, you're not going to be able to answer these economic questions that are happening right now. Why are we in the situation that we're in? Why are the Europeans standing there protesting outside while the governments are trying to back down and pull in their budgets? You know, why is German trying to get out of the EU? Because they can't trust the...
Undoubtedly, we're sitting on top of powder keg, and all the elites are moving out of paper so fast it'll make your head spin. Folks, give Midas Resources a call today. 800-686-2237, the truly trusted name in precious metals for now, I guess, more than 15 years, but Ted's been in the business 30-plus. I was looking around for a gold and silver sponsor 15 years ago and found Ted Anderson and bought some gold and silver myself, and just over the years, they are the most competitive out there. That's why they, Ted is now the fourth or fifth biggest gold and silver dealer in the U.S. You see his ads nationally on television because he's so competitive. 800-686-2237. Ted Anderson, thank you so much for popping in with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me up, Alex.
You bet. Here's that number if you missed it. 800-686-2237. Now, Julio's computer's on the fritz, the guy that said he was going to send us the clip. But we're going to have him for the nightly news tonight. He's trying to send us the MP3 of his full interview with the military gentleman who was on CNN, and they cut the feed. Now, if this was an accident, you know, maybe. But I've seen it too many times on C-SPAN and CNN. When something like this gets said, the same thing happens. And I have another report here in D.C. They started bringing up corruption and ethics investigations in the feed cut. That's out of the Washington Examiner. And it was also on local ABC News, WTOP, covered it. So, I mean, this stuff's happening more and more, which shows the system is concerned about exposure. In fact, we have that clip ready. Here is that clip. CNN pulls the plug on live feed of Soldier talking about voting for Ron Paul. The Soldier starts explaining how preemptive war is the greatest danger, and the feed is cut. Here it is.
Well, I'm really excited about a lot of his ideas, especially when it comes to bringing the soldiers home. I've been serving for 10 years now, and all 10 years of those have been during wartime. I'd like to see a little peacetime army, and I think he has the right idea.
Now, you have done two tours in Afghanistan. You told me you're going to go back for a third tour. I mean, if you can see your neck right there, what you have on your tattoo, 9/11, remember, and a picture of the Twin Towers. You know, some Republicans out there have been saying that Ron Paul would be very dangerous for this country because he wants to bring troops like you back from your post from all over the world.
Well, I think it would be even more dangerous to start nitpicking wars with other countries. Someone like Iran, Israel is more than capable of.
All right, we just lost our connection, unfortunately, with Dana. Dana, stand by. If you can hear me, we're going to get back. You want to go to Candy Crowley over at...
By the way, I don't have some fetish up here bashing Israel. Israel's run by the very same type technocrats that run our country. Their population's been rioting and protesting. But it needs to be pointed out. Wolf Blitzer, do you know what Wolf Blitzer did before he became CNN's main foreign correspondent? You know, back in 1990 or so, he was the head lobbyist for the large consortiums of Israeli government lobbyists in the United States and connected directly at the highest levels of the Israeli government. I mean, if anybody is a foreign spy, it's Wolf Blitzer. He should be investigated for that. And it's the same thing with all these British agents and Russians, whatever. I am for America. I am for the sovereignty of our country. And, I mean, Wolf Blitzer, just go look at his background. So it's very interesting that he was running the show when that happened. Now, I'd give it a 20% chance the feed really did cut out. Now, but reportedly from folks that have talked to him, the guy went on to point out Israel's got hundreds of nukes, which, by the way, CNN still won't say they have nukes. It's what the Washington Post says. It's rumored they have nukes. No, it's come out, their own scientist, major reports, Jane's Weapons Quarterly, CIA reports, Israel a decade ago reportedly had 400 of high-tech design. Some estimates are as high as 800. They bought race-specific bioweapons from South Africa. This has all come out. So that's probably why they cut the feed. Because reportedly, according to Julio, who's given us good info in the past, but he's having trouble sending us the MP3 right now, he got into all of that. In fact, is Julio even still holding there? Because I know I was going to get him on his... Well, let's go back to him. I understand computers being on the fridge. You got to go to the library. Just get it to us so we can play it. But what do you make of that whole exchange and what happened?
Oh, sorry, Alex. I'm on speaker. Hold on 1 second. Let me get you off.
That's okay. I know you were just on hold, so we could try to get that audio from you. Yeah, you could almost just plug your MP3 into the computer and play it over air for us.
It's still in the works right now. I'm actually converting it because it was in some weird file. Hold on a second, Alex. Okay, can you hear me better?
Yeah, I can hear you now. What do you make of CNN? Yeah, go ahead.
Being there last night, I want to make it clear to everyone out there, there was perfect connection wirelessly, satellite-wise, between, you know, all the major networks. Not one network that was covering Paul in Ankeny last night had any satellite issues whatsoever. watching that interview take place, I felt my buddy of mine was trying to get on CNN. He was like waving towards the camera. That interview was pre-recorded because CNN had a TV right next to their camera, which showed the actual live feed. So that interview was being pre-recorded. And
they're posing parts of the Situation Room. It's not even live.
No, yeah, it wasn't even live. It wasn't live at all. It was pre-recorded interview. And then I'm guessing CNN looked over the tape, saw that he was going to mention that Israel can defend themselves against Iran. And like you mentioned, Wolf Blitzer with his ties to Israel, he had to pull the plug. There's no way they can allow...
Why would they even show it, though, and cut it off if they were going to cut it? I mean, I know a lot of those shows, Glenn Beck and others, are admittedly taped to air. I've been in CNN headquarters and watched them, you know, doing my interview 30 minutes before it airs, and it looked live with Joy Behar or whatever. I mean, I get that that goes on. The View is actually live some days. That was why I was able to say whatever I wanted when I was on there. I went into the green room before I went on and made sure it was live. It was delayed about 15 seconds, but that's semi-live. But I mean, why? So that's probably the answer of why they would still air it, because, you say you were watching their TVs there. How far behind was it from being live?
It was far behind. I'd say maybe even a minute or so.
Oh, well, that's still essentially, that's still essentially pretty much live. So that's why they did air it. I mean, but there are problems on the road. I'd say 80% chance they cut it just so they would, be able to make sure that something he was going to say wasn't going to get out. Because, so-called mainstream media in the U.S. will not admit that Israel has nukes. You know that, right?
Well, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, on the nightly news, when you hear the interview, the soldier, we've seen the media's spin on Ron Paul. Oh, Ron Paul's good, but his foreign policy is so awful. CNN, there's no way they can allow a soldier to say Ron Paul's foreign policy is actually good. Because the people watching CNN will say, hey, this soldier...
No, I hear you. Julio, we're going to have to get back to you later. Get us that audio. Great job. I got to start jamming calls in right now. In fact, we're going to skip this break because I got to get to everybody right now. We're going to skip this network break here. Let's go to a great job, Julio. We'll talk to you after the show. Let's talk to Chris in Illinois. Been holding for a long time. Chris, you're on the air. Thanks.
Hi, Alex. I saw an anomaly at the Iowa caucus last night. I was an observer. I'm an Illinois resident in Davenport, Iowa, right across the river. At the Radisson Hotel, there was three precincts. Two of them were in one room. I was an observer. Specifically at one of them, it was Scott County D33, and they had a small number of people turned out, 34, and D63 had 263. They were kind of facing opposite directions in the room, and when they gave their speeches, it was all for both groups, okay? But when the votes were being counted, a strange thing happened. The lights turned off. Not when the votes were being counted, but when they were being collected, the lights turned off.
Oh, the lights turned off. That's like in an old whodunit movie. The lights turn off, and 20 seconds later, somebody has a knife in their chest. Let me ask you this. How long were the lights off?
At least 15, 20 seconds. The thing is...
Were you there, or did you see it on television?
I was there. I was taking pictures.
So you're there, and the lights go off. Right, like, here's the bag of votes, and it's like... Light goes off.
they're collecting them from the crowd. There was 263 people in.
Oh, and then a special little for Romney. Oh, my God. You've got to shoot a YouTube video, sir, with your testimony right now. You've got the floor. Tell us where you were again, what you saw.
I was taking pictures of D33, which only had 34 people, but it was in the same room. And somebody turned a flashlight on pretty quick after the votes went off. And I think that was fair. Ron Paul got 19 votes, Mitt 5, Rick Santorum 5, Newt 4, and some guy, Gary Blunt, got 1. Okay, the other group that was in the same room, there's people handing their votes down the thing. There's people walking down the middle collecting them and stuff. And it was completely different vote. Romney got 106, Santorum 74, Gingrich 40, Paul 31, Perry 9, and Bachman 3. Now, I personally... believe that Paul did not win in that vote, but I think that it's entirely possible that maybe they were supposed to be a lot more.
But that's directly out of a whodunit where the lights turn off and then the lights go back on and something's been stolen or somebody's dead. Anything else you'd like to add? I shouldn't laugh. It's just ridiculous.
It was Scott Coney, D63 at the Radisson in Davenport, and it happened, and all the people there know it happened, and I don't know if this proves anything or whatever, but it's really, really interesting.
I hear you. God bless you. You know, I know the New York Times a few years ago said that I was insane and was at a hotel in Virginia imagining that Bilderberg Group was there. I mean, it's on record. Bilderberg was there. Secret Service was there. And they said that I was thought cars were following me and that men were behind trees. And they say that I basically had a schizophrenic event when a fire alarm went off. They know full well in my film, we're down there eating a hamburger at 11:30 at night before the bar and restaurant close, myself and Rob Jacobson. I got to go up and do Coast to Coast AM right after that. So I guess it was actually about 12:30. It must have been closing at 1 because that's 1 o'clock Eastern. So it's when that show comes on, 1 a.m. And I walk in 5 minutes before. They call me to go on the show, and right as I go on the show, the alarm goes off, but that's not the issue. While I'm down there eating the hamburger, the head of security walks up and says, who I'd never talked to in my life. I've been checked in for a few hours. And the hotel's, got people in it. It's just a day before Bilderberg gets there, a day and a half. And he says, we have people that come in here and steal vases and things and throw fire alarms. If anyone does it, I'm going to arrest them. And so it was a threat. But then if that wasn't bad enough, I'm going to go to your calls. I went outside during the fire alarm, and a fire truck pulls in, and all the people are out there, and the head of security walks over right in front of Jacobson and others and starts cussing at me and saying, I'm going to get you, Jones, and turn your cameras off. Because some of the guys had cameras 10 feet away, and I was like, get over here. But, I mean, they were trying to blame something on me. The point is 100%. But the media won't even admit that Bilderberg Group was there. I mean, Obama's there with Hillary secretly meeting. It's all over the news. Where's Obama? Where's Obama? A day and a half later. And the media is making fun of me saying it didn't exist. That's how stupid they think you are. Okay, let's go to Donna in New Hampshire. Donna, what's your view on all this?
Hi, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. I was hoping to get in to talk to Bev Harris, and we worked with Bev Harris back in 2008, and I can attest that was completely rigged, the New Hampshire vote. They had absolutely no chain of custody, just like Bev said, and also their official seal was like a post-it note. And it was incredible the way that they did it. I was an active Ron Paul supporter in New Hampshire at that time, and we drove all over New Hampshire, and we barely saw McCain signs anywhere. They were for Romney and a lot more for Paul. And that's why I say I hold no illusions at the fact that on January 10th, we will probably see the same hanky-panky going on.
Well, we know it goes on. And again, I mean, this is about tens of trillions of dollars that these criminal interests control running our nation. This is about launching global domination and war. The government will ship guns to Mexico to blame the Second Amendment. It is certified criminal.
Absolutely. And one other thing I just wanted to interject. As far as Corporal Jesse Thornton or Thorntons, or I forget how his name is pronounced.
Yeah.
I believe... it's going to look like he cannot be aired on TV, and it's going to make it look like CNN did the most conscious thing ever by shutting down the satellite because military and Army Times do not allow active military in uniform to advocate a candidacy.
And by the way, CNN, it actually came out in WorldNet Daily 12 years ago, mainly uses military satellites. That's how they first got up. I forgot that. And it turned out most of their senior staff are doubling as Pentagon operatives. You can actually type in top CNN staff or Pentagon psyops. Try that real quick, Jeremy, before the show ends. Great points, ma'am. Again, the callers just make very good points. Mark in Oregon, you're going to have to be our tail gunner here. We're almost out of time. We'll be back tonight, 7 o'clock, prisonplanet.tv, the nightly news. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Alex. I tell you what I've got here. It's going to take longer than you've got left, but I thought I'd just go over it as much as I can.
Real fast. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's really time for Dr. Congressman Paul to stand up against the corrupt political vote-rigging system of Republican New World Order operatives. When the victory was stolen from him in New Hampshire in 2004, it was really time to stand up then.
2008.
To stand up now. They will continue to do this every time and will again be deprived of a president of the people. He has got to stand up. It's the only right thing to do. It's the best sportsmanship. It's not good sportsmanship to lay down for corruption. Isn't that true, Alex?
Well, I mean, we've got the referees openly cheating. And you know, nobody's offsides. Ron Paul keeps winning. They keep cheating. The other team doesn't even have to take the field. They just give the touchdowns to them and say the game's over. I don't know. If there's total smoking guns, I think Ron Paul would come out. He can't do it without total smoking guns. There's a lot of smoke, but not total smoking guns. Great job to the crew. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Big show tonight, PrisonPlanet.tv. 15-day free trials right now.
GCNLive.com today.
So watch it tonight.